tried and true. With thanksgiving, I'll be a living.
Thank you, Harry, for you. Sing it unto him now. Oh, Lord, prepare me to be your sanctuary, pure and holy, tried and true, with thanksgiving, will you? I'll be a living sanctuary for you. Amen and amen. Be a sanctuary for the Lord. Is that your desire? If you'd like to turn in your scripture, turn to John 3. Well, this is tomorrow will be Thanksgiving Day, and everybody will be having a good time. And I'm very thankful, as the prophet said on Invisible Union, that we're very thankful for the early founders were for the fact of the freedom to come here and live. And that was a great Thanksgiving. Well, I'm very thankful for the message of the hour that God has given us to let us know what even Thanksgiving is all about. And, you know, Thanksgiving is really the only American holiday. Everything else is based upon, you know, other kind of things. But, you know, Thanksgiving is an American holiday. You can say, well, the 4th of July, that was because of our independence and things. But it's really our big holiday is Thanksgiving. And we say to all of you, a happy Thanksgiving tomorrow and have a good time in the Lord. Just remember, while you're eating so much, remember the Lord. And just speak to him about it and thank him for it. Also, Anna has done as we did last year, and we donated some money to some poor kids at school and everything. I want to know if that's all right with everybody to continue it this year. Is any opposition to that, to where that we would, you know, to give a little money to help some of the kids and pick out some things for them and give it to them at school? Any problem? No problems, then everything's all right. We'll take care of that. So just remember that. Just pray one for another that the Lord would bless us and guide us. John 3, very familiar scripture. And I pray that we'll try tonight to understand something that, you know, is, I believe, is the most important thing in the world. I believe right here what I'm going to try to preach on tonight is the most confusing thing that has ever been, of what is the new birth. I believe that's the most, and we'll read some of the things the prophet said about it in a minute, you know, where that he said there's not too many new births. All right. So let's just pray now before we read our scripture. Father, we thank you. We love you. We cherish your presence. We pray now that as we read your word that you'd come and speak to our hearts. We're very, very thankful, Lord, in this time to be able to say thank you, Father, for salvation, to saving our souls. Thank you for the message of the hour that you've delivered into our hands, that we may be able to see you and to know you. What a Thanksgiving time it would have been there when they first had the first natural Thanksgiving, if they'd have just known the things that we know. But they were very thankful for their freedom. We're very thankful for our freedom tonight in you. We pray that you would just bless now and guide each one. Remember the sick. Remember the afflicted. Those that are not here for different reasons. We pray that you'd bless each one. Just have your way and guide each one. As when they listen to the tape, may you speak to their hearts also, and that you would lead each and every one of us in Jesus' name. Amen. John 3. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, For no man can do these miracles that thou doest, except God be with him. Jesus said, answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of heaven. Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? We laugh at that, don't we? Thinking how dumb the man was. Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of heaven. For that which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, You must be born again. You may be seated. The Lord add his blessings to the reading of the word. Now, I don't know how I'll go, so I've got a large amount of notes that quotes from the prophet. So if some of you will help Brother Ryan give these out and everything, we'll make sure you hold on to these, because we'll probably use in part of it Sunday, because I doubt if we'll get far enough to be able to really say what I want to say, but I'm going to try to, even if I've got to preach the message, and then I'll come back and read the quotes later to show the things. Now, we've been talking about faith. We've covered faith in many, many, this is message number 10, of talking about faith. Revelation, faith. All right? Now, remember the last message we talked about circumstantial evidence. We talked about how that people just say what other people say. And no man can call Jesus the Christ except it be by the baptism of the Holy Ghost, the prophet said. Because you're only saying what somebody else says, and no matter how much we read or study, we're only quoting someone else, you know, until it comes to the time that it can be revealed unto us. No matter how much you think, it's not that. It's how much is revealed. All right. And I say, I wish I had revealed what I know in my head, you know, by studying the message. And as I said, most people say in the message, see, they'll say, we've got the revelation. We've got what the prophet says. All right. We've had the Bible all the time. Right. You know, a couple hundred years in the print form, or a hundred and something, you know. But did that mean we understood? Well, the prophet come along and showed us we didn't. Is that right? I mean, he showed us we didn't understand what we thought we understood. Right. I mean, we were ready to die for the Bible. Right. We were ready to swear by the Trinity. Right? Well, see, then the prophet came on the scene, and when he did, he showed us the things that we believed that was true was good. But that we did not understand the real meaning of the Bible. And it was vindicated of God and shown to be that way, so we believed it. Huh? Then, if you had any spiritual knowledge whatsoever about it, you had to do like I did. You had to lay down all your thoughts of what you believed, you know, what you'd been taught, and accept what God said through the prophet. You know. All right? And see, that's hard to do. Amen. You say, I just laid that right down and I just went right on. And I remember most of you how long it took you to lay it down. You know. So don't say too much about it. Just think about it. See, don't be something that we're not, because that's living in an imaginary world. But we got to the point of saying, well, you can't call Jesus the Christ except it be by the baptism of the Holy Ghost. All right? Then circumstantial evidence is a higher form than to be of the basis of saying what somebody else says. Because circumstantial evidence can get closer to the truth. And they can even convict you, whereas hearsay in a court of law is not permitted. Saying what somebody else says in a court of law is not permissible. But circumstantial evidence is permissible because it's based upon reasonings, being sensible, you know, and it has a lot of truth to it. Where
whereas your say may be exactly the truth. What mama told you, daddy told you, preacher told you, brother Brown told you, it can be exactly 100% truth. But until that's revealed to you, you have no foundation whatsoever except you're basing it upon circumstantial evidence. And circumstantial evidence in a court of law is really evidence presented that does not have a concrete foundation. Now, I gave some more definitions and Webster's definition and all, but just summing it up that way, that to say that's circumstantial. You know, because you can say, well, we're going to try this person for murder, but we don't have no weapon, we don't have no evidence, no proof, but we're going to assume and prove by assumption, which ought to be thrown out, but it does, and they actually convict people on that basis. When they have no body, no gun, no, nothing concrete to prove it with, it's just something that's reasonable. Well, most people call faith, the ability to reason things out. But faith is not the ability to reason something. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. All right? Now it says there that the world was even framed by the Word of God and made from things that which do not appear. They was not from somewheres else and brought to here. They wasn't moved or translated or anything. It was actually spoken into existence. All right? See, because that's what it was made. It was made by faith or revelation. All right? But now remember what I'm saying now. Circumstantial evidence does not have a foundation. It is really a hope. And that's what the biggest portion of the prophet said of our faith is mental faith, which is built upon a hope. And that's where the problem is at. You can't walk on a hope. It doesn't have enough substance to it for you to be able to exist with. All right. Now, I gave you this one Sunday, so I'll just quote it off. The prophet said on Have Faith in God, 1958, 105, to be an evidence, it's on the front of your notes, number one, to have an evidence, it must be a substance. All right. Now, see, it's not just something that you imagine in your mind. It's something that absolutely you have. It's something that you possess in your own being. And what is it? It's the evidence of things that you have hoped for. It's the evidence of things you do not have as yet. But you have the authority of God to say that you have it. It's an evidence, something you have in your heart. In other words, it's revealed to you. All right. Now, that is a substance. That's an evidence. Now, we're not dealing with something that cannot be proven, but what we're talking about in the realm of Christianity. Now listen to the wording, please. You can't prove salvation like the world wants proof. The proof is to you. The proof is not to me that you're saved. That doesn't save you in anything. The proof is to you that you're saved. All right? And it can't be set upon just something you have in your mind. Well, Brother Dale, I'm saved. And the reason I know I'm saved, I shouted, spoke in tongues, cried, I believe the message. You know. Well, the prophet of God said, your prophet said, that you could have every bit of those things. That anointed ones, we covered the message about it there. that they could do all of those things and still be lost. But if you've got it in your heart, you can't be lost. Well, how do I know, Brother Dale? Pray to God for a revelation. But how do you pray for a revelation? Now, Lord, I'm going to pray. But I really believe I've got it. But I'm going to pray. Well, what are you praying for? Like Brother Brown said, what are you doing up here in the prayer line if you've got faith? He said it proves you don't. You've got a hope, an imagination. And that's great and wonderful. But I've told you, I don't come up here for you to pray for me when I know that I'm healed. When the Lord has spoke to me and I'm healed, like I lied to the doctor about it, I didn't come to be prayed for. I come to testify. Now, it's real easy to testify, Brother Harris, isn't it? It's real easy to testify when the pain's gone out of the back, ain't it? I mean, that's real easy. Anybody can understand that? You say, Brother Harris was healed. Amen, we believe it. But you see, it had to be revealed to him first while he was still hurting. Then it can be made a manifestation. And people deal with that in salvation. Well, now, Lord, if you'll just show me, I believe I'm saved. Where is that in the Bible? You're not in the Bible at all. You're still in you're dealing with circumstantial things. And that was what I was trying to get at Sunday. You're dealing with circumstantial parts. You're not dealing with something that's real, that's a reality. And anything circumstantial, you can be talked out of it. But you can't be talked out of a revelation. Right. Now, we're going to get to that in a minute, and let's see what it is. See? So, all right, now, to be an evidence, it must be a substance. Now, watch. Not just a confession of a substance. Now, understand what I'm saying there. You got to confess it before it can be revealed, before it can be made known, right? You must confess that you're healed before God can heal you. Even though the Bible says it and all, that you were healed before the world. But yet you must confess it, and that's wonderful, a confession. But somewhere that confession, when it becomes a substance, you're not confessing, I want to be healed. You're not saying, I want to be saved. I love the Lord. You're not saying that. You come out to the basis of saying, I already have it. Then it becomes a substance to you, but to you only. But see, a confession then can be upon what God has said, and amen. He makes intercession upon our confession. But why does not a lot of times our confession become a reality? Think on it. Don't use excuses. Abraham's in 25 years. Don't do that. Try to comb through your own life to see what it is. To see if your confession is right. Now, especially in salvation. Now, to those who did not know the truth, down through the ages, God winked at their ignorance, right? And he gave the new birth to the people like the Lutherans, the Methodists, the Baptists, the Presbyterians, etc., coming down. And they were teaching Trinitarianism, eternal hells, and all kind of doctrines. But God winked at their ignorance. All right. But now he commands that all men repent, because once when truth comes, your ignorance don't work. You can say, well, I didn't know it was wrong to steal. The law says that's no excuse, because all of your life you've been told it was wrong to do that. You might not have been given the paragraph of the law, but you've been told it was wrong. See, and ignorance is no doings in court. But see, it's according to your confession. But what if your confession is only what somebody else says? Well, Brother Dale, I hear you preach, and I come up here. I thought I was saved. I thought I was really a great, you know. And you done preached me out of it. Well, the prophet said anything that the word could destroy ought to be destroyed. Now, if I preach you anything that's not in the Bible, no, but you've destroyed all of our evidences. Uh-oh. See, now you're the one that exposed that part. I didn't. Because I'm not talking about evidence. I got one little paragraph in here, and I said I'll talk about evidences later. And see, that's what everybody does. If you went around the world today, and you asked the religious world, including this message, what is the new birth? What would they say? What would be the best? You'd have one group would say shouting. One group would say crying. One group would say this or that or the other. It would always be something you do. Or even to the Baptist or et cetera, Presbyterian would say, oh, it's just believing. Well, now, everything you name in there, whatsoever you want to name, the devil can impersonate every one of them. So why is he not saved? Oh, it's just believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, Brother Dale. Well, don't you think the devil did? Did he get saved? See, the point of what I want you to think about tonight is this. If I don't get nothing in the message to you, think on this. When you say, what is the new birth? Everybody wants to put something on there that you do or didn't do. Even to the people of the message, and even to the basis of saying, we believe. We believe it. The prophet said, it's whether or not the Spirit in you agrees with the Word. Well, be careful, because the devil will agree to the Word to a certain degree. I mean, even with Jesus when he's down, if thou be the Son of God. Well, he didn't have Peter up there. He didn't have John or John the Baptist or whoever. He at least had enough believing that he was dealing with one man there that could possibly be some of those things. He didn't have Caiaphas up there saying it. So he already was a pretty good believer. Like Brother Randall said, it wasn't Jesus hollering, it was the demons hollering when Jesus come. They confessed him to be the Son of God. Now, is that Bible? Well, see, don't base it on the fact that I've made my confession. I've made my confession, Brother Dale. I believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. I believe this message. Be careful, the devil can get in on all of that. So you couldn't leave him out of salvation. You got to have something to put it on. What is the new birth? You got to have something to put it on that he cannot manufacture. That's what I want to try to get to, see. Like I said, if I leave the notes out a while and keep going, don't worry about it. I'll pick it up later. Because that's what I want you to see. To me, the new birth is the most misunderstood, mistaught, you know, taught wrong. Do you realize that only the born-again people have the new birth? Now, I don't have time to go through salvation and just believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and, you know, just make your confession that way and be given eternal life, later dates and et cetera, you know, being good to somebody, something like that. We can go through all of that, but I'm just trying to get you to look at something. Only those who are genuinely born again have the new birth. Then the world is confused about the new birth. You understand what I'm saying? How many people are there in the world today? 6 billion something, 5 billion something? How many in the world today know what the new birth is? All right. Then, that is the most misunderstood teachings in the Bible, is over the new birth. You realize, Sister Gail, what I'm saying? That everybody that's not born again is deceived. And if you and I tonight are not born again, we're in that deception. Only those who are born again know what the new birth is. You say, well, I can tell you, Brother Dale, the new birth is the birth of the Word. Amen. But is that a confession you're making of what Brother Branham taught, Brother Dale taught, Brother so-and-so taught? Come on. Is that a confession? I don't mean to be nasty, hateful, or arrogant, or whatever, but how many of you know that's what it was before you come to Lula? How many of you knew the new birth was the birth of the Word? Well, then you could be saying what Brother Dale taught you, of what Brother Branham said. That's how serious it is. Like I say, you're hurting my feelings. If I hurt your feelings and get you to cry out to God and find out what the new birth is, I wish you'd let me know a long time ago where I could have said it. But Brother Branham, I was listening to him on number 7 of Hebrew series, where he said, people say, well, you know, somebody's hurt their feelings, and they just quit. Just because somebody hurt their feelings. Now, feelings ain't got nothing to do with what I'm talking about. But Brother Dale, I feel. Feelings ain't got nothing to do with what I'm talking about. Now, I know the prophet, I know the message. Anything that doesn't have life is dead. I know all of it, so I'm not talking about junk. But anything that's not born again is dead. Only those with the new birth. And we'll get to it in a minute, where the prophet said there's not too many genuine new births today. You know why? Because they don't know what it is. Brother Branham said, it's the last of your notes, I think it's number 20. So I said, I don't know which way I'm going, so I'll just keep going. He said that Mary represented Pentecost, and then he's talking about Azusa Street, you know. That's the Pentecost he's talking about, not the book of Acts, but Azusa Street. We've been through all of that. And he said Mary denied the birth of the Word. Now, listen, Mary didn't deny having the new birth, or because she didn't know nothing about no birth. She didn't know Nicodemus even hadn't heard this at the time, because Jesus was only about 13 years old. And at 13 years of age, you may wonder why the prophet keeps saying that in almost every other message, or even maybe more than that, he brings out about Mary and how that she said, so, you know, your father and I have sought you. He said, and Jesus, the Word, had to straighten her out. Now, that's not just playing with words. Most people that are in church today, tonight, around the world, are denying the new birth, but claim to have it. Come on, am I going to restate it? How many times do you need to hear this? Only those that are born again have the new birth. Only those that are born again. If there were 10 million, only those that are born again. But I think that's a whole lot of bill, you know, a lot of bigger, because your prophet, he brought it down pretty narrow. But listen. Do you have a substance or a confession Are we like Mary that would deny the birth of the Word? Now, what's he talking about, as I say? It wouldn't put to Mary whether she was born again or not. Brother Brown said Azusa Street took tongues as the evidence of the new birth. Now listen to what I'm saying. Put it a little bit higher. Azusa Street put the new birth as tongues. Have you ever heard a Pentecostal explain that? That's actually what they explain. It is not the fact that you're just speaking in tongues. They're saying that the speaking in tongues is the Holy Ghost itself. And it may even be true. But they're saying that that is the new birth. They're not saying that they got born again and then speak in tongues. So they're total anti-scriptural. Now, whatever the new birth was in the book of Acts, it's got to be the new birth in every church age. Now, we're not talking about how God decreed this and done that in Luther, Wesley. It's still the new birth, and we'll prove it. Luther still had the new birth. Luther had the same new birth that Paul had, except he didn't have to go through the different stages as we do. But let's put it like this. Mary denied the birth of the Word. She denied that was the Word she gave birth to. She didn't deny having this or having that or shouting or crying. She denied that He was the Word. Now, if that was the birth of the Word, if Jesus was the birth of the Word, I got these in here, then you and I have got to be born again the same way He was. Now, I'm not teaching Jesus had to go through a new birth. Get out of your garbage cans. Jesus didn't have to go through justification, sanctification, the baptism of the Holy Ghost. He was the birth. Get the truth of it. That's why people don't like me, is when I put it down that way and drive them nailed hard. Because that way your mind will go, he's talking about Jesus. Need to be right. No. Mary denied the birth of the Word. Azusa Street denied the birth of the Word. Now, there were people there that had the birth of the Word, or they couldn't have denied the birth of the Word. So don't go off and teach something like that then. Big man this message said he couldn't preach error, stood here and said that Azusa Street was false. No, sir. Azusa Street was a genuine baptism of the Holy Ghost, a new birth. But they cabbaged down on the fact, and the people did, and started with tongue, and it wound up that they denied then the birth that they started with. Jesus was the birth of the Word. You agree? He was the Word birthed into flesh. You and I have to be born again in the soul. But it has to be the same eternal life that He had has to come into us, or there's no new birth. Then we're being born again through the stature of a perfect man, etc. But you see why that there's not so many new births. Because people don't know what it is. Oh, Brother Dale, it's the birth of the Word. What Word? Like I've told all of these, years ago that come out with that we come here with this seed in us, we come here with this. I just asked a simple question. I ask it tonight for those on the internet. Is the new birth the birth of the Word that you come here with, or the birth of the Word that you heard after you got here? Which one is it? Because my Bible says faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the Word. Which one is it? All right now. Do you have a confession of a substance, or do you have an actual substance? Now, Jesus was not a confession of a substance. Jesus was the substance. He was not a confession of God. He was God. That's why the Bible says, born this day in the city of David is a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. Emmanuel, God with us. Not having to wait on River Jordan. We all know what happened at River Jordan, but these other people don't. See, they deny the birth of the Word. See, all these doctrines that you got in the message, it goes off. They're denying the birth of the Word. But that ain't got nothing to do with me and you here tonight unless we got that doctrine. I'm preaching to you and me now. Those out yonder just listening. I'm not pastor to the world because of an internet system. I'm pastor of a church at Lula. Somebody else wants to hear, that's their business. You take it up with your pastor and see what he says about the new birth. Well, now, brother so-and-so, now you know you're saved. Well, you know, I was there when you shouted. I was there when you cried. I've had people to tell me that. So I know my kids are saved because I was there when they prayed through. And I finally just stopped and said to one, I said, I don't believe it. Of course, I become unpopular. I don't believe it because they're not doing it today. Well, that could be backslid, Brother Dale. Let's don't backslide too long, okay? Now let's don't have no 40 years backslidden. Let's have 40 years lost. All right, because the prophet said God wouldn't do that. Okay, now. But what is the new birth? We said, well, it's the birth of the Word. Is your new birth the same new birth that Jesus Christ had? He was birthed. We must be birthed because the birth means the coming forth into. He come forth into the world. But we got to come forth out of the world. So we're not comparing what it is. We're just saying what it was because of the rest of the message. See? If we say the new birth is a birth of the Word, what Word was birthed, Brother Dick? When was it birthed? Where was it birthed? What was it? Well, it was the day I heard the message. Well, then the devil's got it. Well, it's the day I got baptized. I wonder how many devils have been baptized. Now, we know spirits are not tied away. I'm just making a point, all right? But listen. Listen to what the prophet said on birth pains, number 2 on your notes. Preached in Phoenix, 1965, 0124. We know the old seed must, before the new seed can come out of the old seed, it must rot. Absolutely, not die only, but rot after it's dead. We know that to be true. That's the same thing in the new birth. We never go back, but we go forward when you're born again. And that's why I think today we have so many, not so many rather, genuine new births. Now, what's he basing it on? What did he just say? We don't go back, we go forward. All right. Now, the three unclean spirits like frogs always look back. I shouted, I spoke in tongues, I cried, I see. I know I'm saved because of. Why look backward? Why not look to what you are now? My evidence of the Holy Ghost is standing here tonight. Because I haven't went backwards. And I don't look backwards. Well, if I could just go back to where I was when I shouted and I cried and I prayed through, glory, hallelujah, what a wonderful time I had also. But I wouldn't walk back one step. You ought to think of this, because if you back up one step, you got that 2 steps to get back. But listen to what he said. And I think today we have not so many genuine new births is because the seed is, maybe we'll sympathize with the word or the person, But they don't want to rot away from the old system they were in, that they were in. They don't want to come out of it. They want to stay in the old system and claim the new birth or the message of the age. Now, when some of you claimed you had the new birth when you came into the message, I don't argue with you, I'm just making statements about things, okay? You could have, I'm not saying no, I'm just saying a lot of you claimed to had the new birth before you came in the message. Well, then if you had the new birth when you came into the message, see, then the old systems and everything was done dead and rotten away, or you wouldn't have the new birth. And if you had the new birth, why didn't you spring forth and keep going? Why did you have so much trouble believing it? Don't deal with me about it, because I done told you my experience. I was 2 years in the message before I received the new birth, so don't deal with me on something that you're trying to rationalize, because I was a walking tapeworm for 2 years. That was when I read 6 books a day and listened to 2 tapes. One going to work, one coming home, read all day at work. But listen, they don't want to come out of it. You say, well, I didn't have no trouble coming out of them denominations. No, you didn't have no trouble getting your coat and hat and leaving. But I still today have trouble with them and been out of there 40 years right at it. Well, Brother Dale, we need to pray for you. I hope you do. But that's what's wrong with us tonight. We don't want to come out. What's he talking about? At the time he preached this message, there were no churches to take anybody to. At the time he preached this message in 1965, you could probably count it around the country, messages that, churches that even followed Brother Brown's message. And yet he's constantly raking over the coals the very one that's called the Branham Tabernacle for not believing his message. See, church, you can holler all you want to, I'm out of the church. I come out of the church. But has the church come out of you? What's he talking about here? They don't want to come out of it. They want to stay in the old system, what, and claim the new birth or the message of the age. Well, I believe the message, Brother Dale. But listen, church. What is your prophet saying? They want to stay in the old system and claim the new birth. In other words, they have denied the birth of the Word. Why would you want to stay in a church and claim the message? Oh, I've dealt with them over and over, preachers and likes. And they'll say, Brother Dale, I think we need to stay in that church. I think the prophet said it. The prophet said, stay there and let your light shine. I said, keep reading. He said, let your light shine, they throw you out. All right. But you think we got to come to Lula? I didn't say that. Never told anybody to come to Lula. Matter of fact, I've told most of you to go somewhere else. Would you agree? But I told you to go to these other churches. See? But what is the prophet saying? He said there's not too many genuine new births. It's because the seed is. Maybe we'll sympathize with the Word. Now, what does sympathize with the Word mean? You'll agree it's right. Right? But you won't walk in it. Come on, is that right? So you're sympathetic with it. You agree with it, but you won't walk in it. And like I said, at the time now, he had no place to send the people to. He says that. He said, I don't have anywhere to send the people that have come out. That's why he said, stay there and let your light shine. He didn't have nowhere to take them. But we don't have any excuses today because we do have message churches. You see, they don't want to ride away from the old system. They want to claim the new birth. Now, why would he put that there like it is? They want to claim the new birth or the message of the age. So evidently, the new birth has something to do with the message of the age. Now come on. What is the new birth? Oh, it's the birth of the Word. So then it's got to have something to do with the message of each age. Luther's message was not sanctification or the baptism of the Holy Ghost. It was the message of the age he lived in. You say, but Brother Dale, I had the new birth before I heard of the prophet's message. I'm not saying you didn't. But I'm asking you the question. God had to wink at your ignorance to give it to you. Come on, he winked at the ignorance, had to give it to you, because you couldn't be born again under a Trinity if you know the Trinity was wrong. But when you believed it was right, he could have given you the Holy Ghost, but he'd be winking at your ignorance, knowing you'd eventually come to it when you heard the truth. But see, what did God give birth to you? What did he birth in you before you heard this message? He didn't birth one God to you because you're Trinitarian. Come on, we're all there. What did he give birth to? Well, Brother Dale, he gave birth to the Word. We're still in the message. But how did he birth that Trinity to you? When it's contrary to the Word of God. Come on, I'm asking him, won't you think seriously with me? He said, well, you're trying to tell every one of us we didn't have the new birth. That's up to you. I don't have anything to do with it. I'm just asking you the question. What was birth in you? If you claim the new birth before you came in the message, and heard the message of the end time, what was birthed in you? It could not have been Trinitarian doctrine or denominationalism. See, that's why that people come out with signs and wonders. And like I said, you nail a Pentecostal down. Oh, he'll tell you the evidence is speaking in tongues, but you narrow him down. Keep narrowing him down. He'll tell you that was the Holy Ghost. He'll tell you that was his new birth, speaking in tongues. Narrow him down. He won't say, I got born again and had this wonderful, lift off of my heart and was saved. And then I spoke in tongues. You won't do it. He'll take you right back speaking in tongues.
Right.
The people of this message take you right back to believe the message.
Right.
They're dealing with evidence. I'm not dealing with evidence. I'm not talking about evidence. What evidence did Jesus have? Where did he speak of any evidence that he was who he was because? No. He knowed who he was because. Because that's who he was. But get it. See, we base our salvation upon what we call the new birth. But we've always got something back in behind as a reason why. The reason that, because I believe the message. Well, what are you going to do with the devil that believed it before you did? Now, Jesus Christ was Almighty God. You agree? Then he was the substance of Almighty God. That's where this River Jordan doctrine, people don't realize what they're doing. They're arguing over whether Jesus was substance or like substance. And that's what they were dealing with the First Nicene Council 325 A.D. Not over three or one or three gods. It's over whether Jesus was a substance of God or a like substance. So they finally developed later on the Trinity concept out of it, that he was God in three persons, a like substance. Oh, but Brother Dale, you don't understand the people of the matrix. They know the difference in body. I wouldn't deal too much about that body because his body was the Word. I would be real careful what I had to say about that. Well, he was just a man. Be real careful, because your prophet said no man can die for another man. But you see what I'm talking about? The message of the age. Now, as I said to start with, you ask people, oh, what is the new birth? No, and they'll say, I shouted, I cried, I spoke in tongues. They'll name me something. You said, but I didn't ask you that. I asked you what happened when you got born again. Well, I cried, I shouted, spoke in tongues. See, now you've narrowed them down. Do you know what they're saying? Because that's what I used to say. Are you honest enough to admit it? That's what you used to say? Now, Brother Dale, I never did believe tongues was evidence. I didn't say that. What did you believe before then? See, we got to have something the devil can't come and get down into and manufacture. Huh? Now, Jesus was the evidence of Almighty God. Because he was God. He was the substance of God because he was God. And Mary gave birth to that and denied that when she knowed she never had a man to get it. Now, come on. She denied that being the seed. She denied that was the seed of God. She put it to be the seed of Joseph. And said, your father and I. He said, hold it just a minute. I got to be about my father's business. You and daddy go making cabinets. I'll be home after a while to help you for a while and then my ministry will start. Come on, wasn't that what he was saying to him? Paraphrase it. Bring it down to plain language. But she denied the birth of the Word. Now, Brother Brown said Azusa Street denied the birth of the Word. What's he saying? Because the Word was presented to them. Azusa Street wasn't just speaking in tongues. It was the birth of the Word for the age. God winked at the ignorance to give the Holy Ghost, but He gave the Holy Ghost. The speaking in tongues is what the baby done after it got into the world.
Right. Who was it? One brother of them, Seymour, wasn't it Seymour, Brother Harris, that went out there that didn't have the Holy Ghost and went out there, one brother of them, Seymour, went out there to see what was going on. And he didn't have the Holy Ghost. But when he got the Holy Ghost, things got on fire that had already been on fire. He went to see what the fire was. He got the fire. They settled down with the tongues, and when Daddy Seymour began to preach the truth of the oneness, what did they do with him? Wasn't it Seymour that started the Godhead? Oneness of the Godhead and coming on over to Haywood? Haywood's one that started it. But you go back to Daddy Seymour and see if he didn't have more understanding than other people did. We know that. But see, when the truth of one God came out, that was the message of the age. Do you understand what the message of the age was on Azusa Street? The one true and living God to come into manifestation. Because the Holy Ghost had to be there to quicken the truth when it would come. The Holy Ghost that fell on Azusa Street, 1906, was the genuine baptism of the Holy Ghost. The person of Jesus Christ. They didn't know what they had until Haywood and them began to preach on the Godhead. They didn't preach tongues as an evidence. They preached one God. Luther went out there to protest the Catholic Church and preached, "The just shall live by faith." You know what the new birth was of that age? It was the just shall live by faith. Come on, is that right? It was the just shall live by faith. That was their new birth. It wasn't crying, shouting, speaking in tongues. That all happened after the baby got here. Do you understand what I'm meaning by that? See, you're trying to bring the baby something. You're trying to say the baby in the womb is all of this. When the baby in the womb, the prophet said, ain't nothing but wiggling muscles. No soul, no life other than wiggling muscles. He said, when the baby is brought forth, then life enters the baby. And the reason that it cries out is because life has already been there. It didn't cry out in the womb and speak in tongues. It's when the baby comes here, then it cries, right? Get it straight. The birth of new birth is the birth of the age. That's why in this day, see, it's more than just to say we believe even in one God. When the prophet brought this message, now it's the message of the age. It's the prophet's message that he brought, starting in 63 with the opening of the seals. The other was the foundation of what had already been brought by the apostles. But where are the people of the message? Brother Branham, I'll be glad to show you. I didn't bring them. I figure you ought to know. Brother Branham said, I always thought the evidence of the Holy Ghost was fruits of the Spirit. He said, I thought the evidence of the Holy Ghost then was love. He said, because that come up to be the best I could do. But he said the Holy Spirit straightened him out. Look down at the next one, Broken Cistern. Paragraph 66. Today I was talking with a good friend, Dr. Leevale, who's present now, and he's quite a theologian. And so we usually have some pretty good discussions on the Scripture. Very smart,
And he asked me one time what I thought about the initial evidence of the Holy Ghost. Was it speaking in tongues? It's been many years ago. I said, no. Can't see that. He said, neither do I. Said, though I've been taught that. He said, what would you think would be an evidence? I said, the most perfect evidence I can think of is love. And so we got to talking on that. And then I thought, that sounded pretty good. So I just held that, if a man's got love. But one day the Lord in a vision straightened me out. And he said that the evidence of the Spirit was those who could receive the Word. Now watch. He didn't say the evidence was those who had the Word. It's those who could receive the Word. Neither love nor speaking in tongues, but it's receiving the Word. And he goes to paragraph 68. And then Dr. Vail was saying to me that is scriptural. He said, because in John 14, Jesus said, when he, the Holy Ghost, has come upon you, he will reveal these things to you that I've taught you and will show you things to come. So there is the genuine evidence of the Holy Ghost. He's never told me anything wrong yet. That is the evidence of the Holy Ghost, is he who can believe the Word, who can receive it. Because Jesus never said, when the Holy Ghost has come, he'll speak in tongues. He never said, the Holy Ghost, come, you do any of those things. But he said, he will take these things of mine and show them to you. And will show you things that is to come. So there is the genuine evidence of the Holy Ghost according to Jesus himself. Now listen. Did Jesus deny the Word? Is there anywhere that Jesus denied the Word? He said, no, because he was the Word. He had the evidence of the Holy Ghost, didn't he? Jesus had the evidence of the Holy Ghost. What was it? He agreed with the Word. Why? Because he was the Word. Now, there's no way that you can agree with the Word until you're born again. You're only sympathizing with it. You're only reasoning with it. You're only agreeing with what somebody else says. Jesus didn't take what somebody else said. He took the Word. Now what about me and you? Why are there so many doctrines in the message? Over one message. I think the answer to it is what I read back up there. There's not too many genuine new births. There's not too many genuine new births of the Word. Because, Brother Dick, how could you have the birth of the Word and deny the Word? Now, you can't prove, other than DNAs, etc., whatever you went through, you can't prove you're an Addison. They could fake every bit of that. But you know how you know you're an Addison? Because you've been raised as one all your life. So it doesn't matter if they told you now who you was. You'd say, well, that's all right. I'm just too far old to be able to change my name. I think I'll just stay with Addison. See, all your life you've been told who you are. You've read books on who you are. You've seen pictures of who you are. I mean, your family and who you look like and what this is and records coming down. So you must be a birth of an Addison. Because all the evidence points to it. But now watch. You could come along and say, I believe I'm an Addison. You know, Napoleon, you know. I think I'm. You could say, I believe I'm an Addison. No. You're not making an honest confession because you know you're an Addison. You can prove you're an Addison. Right? So you stand on the basis of being an Addison. Why? Because the Word, you know, saying it like that. The Word says you are. See, Jesus had confidence. Go to perfect faith and listen to the prophet. Jesus had confidence in what the Word said who he was. Now, when you get the new birth, you'll have confidence in what the Word says about you. Brother Gary, he used to call me all the time talking about the evidence, the evidence. I said, leave it alone, Brother Gary. You're trying to figure out something. He called me one day and he said, Brother Dale, it's over. I said, what? He said, I just received a new birth. I said, okay, now it's over. What was that? If you got the new birth today, it's the birth of the Word. Because it's the birth of the age you live in. The message of the hour is you being born again. But you're not in this age unless you have the birth of the age. Each age was birthed out of the age that they existed in. The Holy Ghost was never in no age. You can't put it in age. You put it in individuals. The new birth has always been the same. Now come on, you got to admit that. Tapes or wherever it goes. The new birth has always got to be the same if it's a birth. You can't have the birth in one age and the birth in another age to be different and that's all be in the body of Christ. So in the days of Martin Luther, it was the just shall live by faith. You know I believe that today? That's part of my new birth? If I denied that today, I wouldn't have what he had. But where's all of your evidences, your signs, your this happened or that happened? You know that Martin Luther was in the monastery? You know that Martin Luther was claiming to be a Christian? You know that Martin Luther was actually, you know, a set-aside monk, if you want to call him, or whatever you want to use the word back there for it. I don't know what it is. If I say it wrong, forgive me. But he had his life set aside for God. He thought he was a Christian. His name was on the books. Yeah. But one day, off of the pages, jumped to Scripture, the just shall live by faith. There was his birth. And only those who saw that like that. Only those who had jumped off the pages to them like it did to him got the new birth. The rest were only mimics or sympathizers. We're in a day of anointed ones when all kind of things is taking place. The new birth is the birth of the age. John Wesley came to America to convert the heathen to the Methodist doctrine. You know, maybe not Methodist back then because it hadn't come into being until because he was called Methodist later. But he came here as a missionary to convert the heathen. And on his way here, the Moravians, or however you pronounce it, they got to talking to him about sanctification. He went back home and said, behold, I came to convert the heathen and found out I needed to be converted myself. You know what the new birth of the age was then of John Wesley? Sanctification. And everybody that got sanctified, not those that quit smoking, drinking, chewing, running around, because that ain't sanctification. That's the after effects of sanctification. Sanctification is the word being put into you like it is into the womb of a woman where the seed is conceived. That's sanctification. It's conceiving the seed. The Pentecostals come forth with a new, renewed existence. But just because they were speaking in tongues, everybody said, that's the Holy Ghost speaking in tongues. Holy Ghost speaking in tongues. And Brother Brown said, I've seen the devil do that. But you see, some of those people had a genuine new birth. And they proved it because when they come on with preaching the real truth of the oneness, they went with it. Whereas the others tried to kill the ones who had went out started with the oneness doctrine. That's how great we can be in our religious realm, right? The church, see, I'm not getting into what, just bring them, make sure you bring these notes back with you. But you see, we of the people of the message lay upon the basis that we claim Brother Branham was a prophet. We claim we've got the new birth. But we don't need to know anything about the seals. Daniel 70 weeks is taboo. And we don't need to get on marriage and divorce. You don't need to get on to this. You don't need to get on to that because we don't understand it. Well, how can you have the new birth of the age? You know, to most of the people following this message, they better pray to God that he sends Brother Branham back and puts up a tent and let him preach here about 20 more years. And that's not a joke to me. They better hope he does. Because whatever hope do they have? You talk to people about this simple little new birth. We don't want to get into them deep things now. That stature of a perfect man is simple, but that adoption is deep now. We don't want to get into that. Don't even know you're talking about the same thing. But you see, church, the evidence of the Holy Ghost is he who can believe the word. It didn't stop there. He who can receive the word. See, we stated as the basis of saying it's whether or not your spirit in you agrees with the word. That's good because you can't walk in something that you don't agree with. But the devil agrees with so much of the word. And Brother Brown said, anointed ones can take so much of the word and make it work. But what if we here in Lula tonight are just anointed ones? Just followers of the message. They even got a name change. The disciples did. They were disciples, right? A disciple means follower. Their names were changed to apostles. What does that mean? One sent. One sent is an apostle. A disciple is just a follower. So we can be a follower of the message. But those that are born again are an apostle of the message. Because you're sent. Now listen, church, please understand. I'm not trying to destroy your feelings, destroy your thoughts, your ideas, whatever. But if the word destroys it, then there's something wrong with it. Now, that's honest as I can be. Well, you just don't need to bring it out. I see it on your faces when I bring out a lot of things. I don't have to have discernment. But see, I would ask God sometimes for something. Because the reason I knew Brother Forney had a rock in that bag is because the message he preached. How many of you knew he had a rock in that bag? The message he preached is where the rock was at. That's why I asked the Lord to just show me, and he said, tell him to pour them rocks out. See, because that's the one I always depend on. I can't depend on anything else. And even that part right there, I can't lay on that. I can't lay on just because something works. I've never put it on that. I thought I'll just keep my mouth shut and won't say nothing. Because nobody ain't going to believe it anyway. But listen, I only tell you to where it can be proof of the evidence. What I have has led me this far. What I have tonight has kept me out of these two souls, seventh under virtue, Perusias, Son of Man's, all of the doctrines. What I have in me has kept me from that. It may be the devil I have in me. You say, Brother Dale, you shouldn't talk like that. Why not? Because if you don't know that the devil ain't going to keep you out of a doctrine, he's going to put you in a doctrine. You got a problem with your own mental capacity. It has been God to keep me all these years to bring the message. I've never put it on some kind of an evidence. I put it on what he said. Even though I didn't understand it, I put it on what he said. That 70 weeks book, you ought to see the first one I had. I had questions, 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 questions. And I wouldn't preach on it till every one of them question marks had been marked out and put okay, okay, okay. Then when all the okays were put there, I chose to preach it. And hadn't worried about it since then. The church, the birth of the Word is the birth of the Word. Right. Now I'm saying this to you because I hope you understand. I hope you will understand. It's not that we're just followers of a message.
That's right.
We are the message.
Amen.
We're not just followers. Y'all follow William Branham? No, I don't follow William Branham. The message he brought lives in my heart. I'm not a follower of Jesus. Oh boy, I tell you what now, you really are getting it. No, I'm not, because Jesus Christ is living in my heart. What did Paul say? It's not I that liveth, but Christ that liveth in me.
Amen.
But Brother Dale, you're not Paul. I'll agree with you. We're in a greater day than Paul was. Now you differ with that. Come with the message. But listen, church. Yeah. Bring these notes back with you, because I can't get to what I want. But I'm getting the part that I want to get to you is one thing. Shouting, crying, speaking in tongues is not the Holy Ghost. It can be the Holy Ghost doing them things, but it is not the Holy Ghost in the basis of the evidences and things. There's only one evidence. There's only one evidence. You say it's whether I agree with the Word. You can agree with the Word 99%. Still miss it 1% and you're off. It's not agreeing with the Word. It's being the Word. I'm not trying to get you to agree with the doctrine. I'm trying to get you to be Jesus Christ made manifest for the hour that you're living. Because that's what Luther was. That's what Wesley was. That's what Azusa was. That's what it is now. But I just don't feel anything when you're preaching. But I don't either. So we're all in agreement there. Because I feel dirty to have to holler and scream at people to try to get us to see what is the new birth. What is the new birth? I am the new birth. You say, you're going too far. Tell me how far. If you'd have asked the Lord Jesus what the new birth was, what do you want to reread it? You want to reread what he said? But you want to read it in a little different terminologies or wording? Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born from above. Well, that's what the original says, and that's what the prophet says it says. All right? What does he say? Again, he went on. Except a man be born again, he cannot see. Understand? Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Very sensible old man. But look at Jesus.
Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Can I move a scripture from one place to another without you saying I've dislocated it? What's the difference in Jesus saying that than saying, unless you believe that I am He, you'll die in your sins? Is that dislocating the Scripture? What's the difference in what He said? Nicodemus couldn't understand. What was Jesus saying? Come on. Jesus was putting in plain language, unless I die and come and live in you, you cannot be born again. Come on, wasn't that what he's saying? Unless I come and live in you, you can't be born again. He wanted to go back to mama. Jesus was saying, you need to die. You need to die to your own ideas and let me come and live in you. Because he that is born to the water is born to water and spirit. What's he talking about? We only put that on water baptism. Or Holy Ghost baptism. You can be baptized every day of your life and die and go to hell, right? You agree? You can be anointed with the Spirit of Almighty God on your spirit and die and go to hell. Do you agree? So what's Jesus talking about? He ain't talking about water baptism and that. He's saying, unless you believe I'm He, that I come to die for you, Nicodemus, unless you believe that, you'll die in your sins. Nicodemus went away a sorrowful man in his heart because he couldn't understand. He couldn't understand how that Jesus could die for him. Do you understand how he can? Do you understand what I said a moment ago when I said I am the new birth? I'm not talking about your new birth. Hey, I'm not that dumb. I'm talking about my new birth. I'm not talking about your new birth is to believe Brother Dale. Garbage can. I hope that can be translated in other language to where you can say garbage can just means what it is. A pile of garbage. I'm trying to get you to see Christ has got to come into your heart and live in you. And when He comes and lives in you as the person of Jesus Christ, that brings a substance into your heart. That converts you from a Dick Addison. You're no longer Addison. Fleshly, yeah. Humanly, yes. But no longer are you Addison. You're a child of God. The same God that stood there and said, unless you believe that I am He, you'll die in your sin. The same God is dwelling in you and saying, unless you believe that I am a child of God, you got a problem. Come on, church. I think it's about time to quit playing around. But you see, we get our little feelings. We get this from Brother Dale. He doesn't pet us. He didn't even call me to ask me why I was. Didn't come to church. I'm not going to most of the time. Because I got tired years ago of hearing you say, well, I decided to go somewhere else. I got tired of that. Or I didn't feel like it. I was just a little sick. I thought the church is where we prayed for the sick. Have you ever seen me miss because I was sick? You know, we still have an ambulance. And I'll pay for it. If you're too sick to get here, call me. I'll pay the ambulance fee to haul you here. You don't have no excuse. But we are the children of God. We're sons and daughters of a living God. So What to say? I quit preaching, start meddling, don't I? Start getting down to where we live. Jesus didn't have to act like God. He was God. A child of God doesn't have to act like God. That's what they are. But what is the new birth? The new birth sure is the birth of the Word. But Jesus was the birth of the Word. So then Jesus, translated into you and I by death, burial, and resurrection, and the bringing of the Holy Ghost, makes us the Word. That's why, as I state again, that's why that this church has always been based on the Word and hadn't got off on all these doctrines. You know, the biggest thing they can say about us is, nah, you're just stubborn. Or I remember when you was hateful. But a man here a while back said something about, I tried to say something. He said, yeah, but said, I remember. I guess he remembered when I didn't agree with him. Because I did too. But listen, church, the birth of the Word is more to it than just say the birth of the Word. Jesus was the birth of the Word. And the Pentecostals denied the birth of the Word. Could you and I deny the birth of the Word? Could we turn down the birth of this age? But Brother Dale, you don't believe in feelings. You don't believe in emotions. You don't believe in... I believe in all of that secondarily. I put the Word first. Secondarily, I have all the feelings and signs and wonders. But it's the Word first. Wasn't that what Jesus said? What does the Word say? Wasn't that what He said to the devil in the temptations? It is written. What does the Word say? But think on these things. Come on, Brother Boy. We'll get back to these other things. We'll bring these notes with you. And talk about the birth of the Word. The birth of the Word. That's what you are. A born-again experience is the birth of the Word. It's not crying, shouting, doing all of these things. Everyone that is in the Christmas play that's here tonight needs to meet in the Sunday school, big Sunday school room after the church service tonight, if you're in the play. All right? Please meet downstairs and all, because they've got to start getting the play together, getting everything lined up, you know, and fixing everything, because you only got a few weeks. And we will not be doing... There was talk about maybe renting a tent and putting it up and putting on a Saturday night service and then, you know, doing it that way and then doing Sunday. Well, there's one thing about it. Most of you wouldn't come Saturday night knowing you're going to get to see the same play Sunday. So the only thing would be coming would be anybody from around here. Nobody ain't going to come from around here because we ain't got time to advertise it. So it won't be no tent service, you know, on Saturday to try to do it. We're going to do it right here on the stage. Well, we can't do it. Well, we're going to do it right here on the stage. We're going to do it right here on the pulpit. Because we can do it just as easy here as we can do it anywhere else. And that way we won't have to build something, take it somewhere else, do all of these type of things. We'll do it right here. It'd be a fine thing. I'd love to have a tent meetings and everything and set it up and do it, but you got to do it. You got to plan it away ahead. You got to do and do everything and get it set up. So we're going to have it right here in the church. Yep. All right. And see, some will get their feelings hurt because I said that. Well, just remember one thing. I do it because of what I believe we've got to be sensible about for the time. And then, you know, we'll go from there. Go ahead. Let's stand. 341. 341 in the red book. Anybody have a need? 341. He that is in me, greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Brother Harris. Brother's got a problem in. He thinks that they're telling him he maybe even have a kidney stone. Because he's got some urine in his, you know, in his urine he's got some blood. But let's just believe. And let's thank God for the truth of what we can believe. Not depend upon what we feel, even though we feel it. But depend upon what he said. He said, by his stripes you're healed. All right? We would be lying if we didn't say what he said. So, let's believe that. Then we just agree that everything will be all right. Father, in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, we condemn this sickness upon our brother. We know that he's got a sinus problem. It's bothering him. Feeling hot and everything. But we condemn that through thy word, Lord, and thy word is true. You said, by your stripes our brother is healed, and we believe it. Father, this blood in the urinary tract, we condemn that also. We condemn that stone, if they're trying to be anything there, kidney stones, we condemn it. Because we believe it. Everything has to make manifest according to thy word. We love you, Father. And all we've ever tried to do is get people to see who you are. So we just lay our hands upon our brother now to condemn all of these sicknesses, the things that would be any hindrance whatsoever. And Lord, we doubt our doubts because we believe thy word. We thank you in Jesus' name. Wouldn't believe it. Anybody else? Anybody else that just have a need? Upper room and baptized. See, that was a true experience. That wasn't just speaking in tongues. In the Bible it says the Holy Ghost came upon them and they spake in tongues. We believe in that. But we don't cabbage down on some kind of an idea. The new birth is the birth of the Word. Has been in every age. Because Jesus was the birth of the Word. He was the first of this kingdom, a new race. You and I have got to be the children of that race. Not to be just wishy-washy and up and down, but to be children of God. Not to be the word that we've got to have something to hold on. And Brother Branham said, God is a good God. He was talking, I was seeing one the other day where he was talking about somebody had told him that they wanted to speak in tongues. He said, I asked God to let them speak in tongues. He said, because they need something to stand on. Well, that's wonderful, and God does that. Thomas, I won't believe it. Okay, put your hand right here. God is a good God. But he's the Word. You've got quotes in there where the prophet was talking about. Read them and then make sure you bring them back. Where he said that Holy Spirit was there to irrigate that Word. To irrigate that Word. Make the Word alive. The altar of sacrifice.
your heart. Let the Spirit control. You can only be glad.
How?
And the peace and sweetness. Can you yield him your body as full? Would you walk with the Lord in the light of his word?
That's the only way you can have peace is walking in the Word. It's not what you feel. It's what you have a substance of. The new birth is not a feeling. It's a substance. It's a substance. It's more real than you are.
Sacrifice your heart, let the Spirit control. You can only be blessed and have peace and sweet rest as you yield.
Our brother, his head's hurting him. It's a sore spot from where they've done these things on him this our Monday, Father. We just ask you to remove that from him. Take it away from him, Father. Let everything be all right. We believe all the tests and everything will be a finished product. But take away this hurt, because we thank you. We condemn the hurt now in Jesus' name. Anybody else before we go?
Your body and soul. Never can know what the Lord will bestow.
We don't know them.
Father, our sister's here to ask him for her husband about his ears. He's telling us today. We believe you. You said if any two agree upon anything, it'd be given unto them for your honor and glory. So we agree with our sister that by your stripes our brother is healed. We thank you. In Jesus' name.
Altar of sacrifice, your heart, does the Spirit control. You can only be blessed and have peace and sweet rest as you heal body and soul.
Father, we thank you for the service tonight, and we pray, Lord, that what we said would be needful. Maybe our actions and reactions are not worth anything, Father, but we just so want the people to see that, Father, you was the birth of the Word in Jesus Christ. And if there's anything whatsoever good about any of us, it's what you've done for us. And that is a birth of the Word that you've given us. We thank you, Father. We praise your great name. You said in your Word, you sent your Word and healed them. We expect that birth of the Word tonight for those that have asked. We believe you. We pray that you would just guide each and every one, be with the people on the way home, give a safe journey. Let your love be with us. And Father, what a great Thanksgiving time that we have to be thankful for the truth of the hour that you've given unto us. To be, Lord, to be your children, to be a birth of the Word, to walk upon the earth again just like you walked upon the earth there in human flesh. this time in a many-membered body called the Bride of Jesus Christ. We love you, Father, and we thank you. In Jesus' name, you're dismissed. Pray one for another. This world is